Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. My guest today is Dr. Joe Gallenberger. When his beloved brother, Peter, committed suicide, psychotherapist Dr. Joe Gallenberger met his overwhelming grief with courage and open-minded curiosity, using the tools he learned at the Monroe Institute, which I'm a huge fan, love their stuff, and affirming that love can pierce any veil. He was soon able to connect with Peter on the other side, and he's really written two books about this. One book that he wrote right after his brother passed away is called Brothers Forever, and he just has a new one now called Heaven is for Healing, which checks in on the progress of the two brothers many years after Peter's passing. And I'm so pleased to have Dr. Gallenberger with us today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lisa. Good to be on with you.
So I just thought your book was beautiful. It was very moving for me. And I thought it was, I mean, it's obviously what happened to you, but I thought it was kind of brave for you to actually bring up the topic of suicide because it's so taboo in our society.
Yes, we do kind of sweep that under the rug of shame, I think.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if you could tell our listeners a little bit about what happened and what,
sure.
You know, what happened that you wrote this book.
Sure. So my brother was 8 years older, and I really admired him. He was handsome, intelligent, hardworking, took care of me when I was young. And later in life, he had a lot of trouble with finding work and keeping it, and also had chronic pain syndrome from an accident. And so he ended up living in my upstairs of my therapy office for a good while, and we became really best friends as well as brothers. And eventually he headed out to Las Vegas because it was booming then. This is back 20 years ago. And hoped to find work there. But when he got there, he found that if you had had a bankruptcy, they would not hire you even in a 7-Eleven. So he kind of slid down, and I think he felt he could no longer have family members support him. My folks were reaching the age where they might need rest homes. And then I got a call from the Vegas police that he had taken his life. Of course, that hit me very hard. Coincidentally, I had been at Monroe Institute a week before as a participant in their very first Lifeline program, which was designed to help with soul rescue or retrieval, help people who are newly transitioned to the other side make an adjustment if they're having difficulty. So those skills came in handy. I also worked with a channeler that I think is one of the best in all the world for reliability, and we honed in on Pete at that time. The first thing he sent back was a picture of a street sign with a judge's gavel on it and a line through it with the thought, no judgment. He was so happy not to be judged and condemned once he got over to the other side. And so we had quite a bit of contact, and that is in Brothers Forever, the first book. And then 20 years later, I realized events in his life had shifted and shaped mine very much. The last two decades, I've been dealing mainly with how do people create a great life. And he seemed to have things in place, except that he didn't feel deserving and often voted for fear over love and was kind of suspicious of personal power. So that took me on this journey of a couple decades working in the area of abundance creation. So I thought, gee, 20-year anniversary, it's really changed me. I wonder what he's doing over there. So Heaven is for Healing takes up the story 20 years later and talks a lot about how suicides in general are helped to heal when they get to the other side, and also what his journey's been there. In fact, he's about ready to reincarnate again.
That's cool.
a long healing process. So I found the information quite fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's such a rich topic because there's so many different angles to this. There's, you know, sort of the fascinating disclosures you have about like what happens to souls when they've passed over, and then what happens to the people that, you know, that stay here after they've gone, and they, you know, those two sort of parallel journeys. And I thought it was, you know, I work as a psychic myself, and I've, although I'm not specifically a medium, I have done a lot of conversations with the souls of people who have committed suicide. And what I have experienced myself was really coincided with what you talked about in the book, which I thought was interesting. And it's sad to me that there's so much, you know, judgment, like you said, even condemnation and in the world for people who choose to suicide.
Yes, you know, in Roman times and middle Europe, people's property would be confiscated. Their families might even be put in prison. I went down to New Orleans for a ghost tour once when I was doing a conference, and they were talking about, I think in the 1700s, New Orleans, they would torture the person's body who had suicided, cut it up into pieces, feed it to the alligators, so that it was put in unconsecrated ground so the demons could torture it for eternity.
And so, oh, my God.
You know, when we got this horrible news, my mother, you know, was faced with losing her child, but also immediately had to hit the Catholic belief she was raised in, that he was now in hell for all eternity. And so I thought it was important to write to begin to gentle out that. It's not encouraging suicide. You don't get away from your problems, if you will, but there does not seem to be any eternal hell. You're met with great compassion. It looks like all death leads to light, and that no life experience is thrown out. All life experience is treasured as a way to learn and continue on as a soul. So hopefully that message will help comfort people who've lost a loved one, and also with the devastation that I tried to, as honestly as I could, to portray for family members and loved ones left behind, that it would make people realize that suicide's not the way to solve something. You know, in there's a variety, from people who have 2 weeks to live with terminal cancer and they're just wanting to avoid the final pain, to an adolescent who kind of makes an impulsive decision after a bad report card or a loss of a girlfriend or boyfriend, to murder suicide, where a great turmoil is created. So that the other side's response really is tailored to what that individual needs and can be pretty extensive. For example, in this, my brother was considered kind of average, but it's taken him about 20 years of healing before he's ready to look at another life.
Well, I thought it was really comforting to hear that, you know, that people who suicide get help, you know, they get special help. It's sort of like rehab over there for them. And I found that really comforting and heartwarming to know that.
Yes, I think it makes a difference. It's almost like medical triage. And many people arrive after sudden death in some confusion, agitation, what have you, particularly after suicide, the emotions and things can be very filled with guilt and other things. And so when they need to, it seems like they even put the soul energy in kind of a coma-like state for a good while they begin to work unconsciously with that individual to do some healing, even before they kind of wake them up. After wake up, usually there is a life review showing what what was possible that wasn't fulfilled by cutting life short. And that's done with great compassion. Again, there's no judgment, but the person often feels upset at seeing what they could have done, what they might have missed. So they're held in great love during that. The first channeling we had on this after his 20 years, the waves of energy coming over the phone, the channeler was in New Mexico, I was in North Carolina, were so great that I was crying and couldn't sit down because the energy was there. She was crying just with these waves of compassion for the loved ones left behind as well as the individual who chose to take their life. So it's no doubt that we are loved. And there's always a chance for healing and for hope.
That's amazing. And I know you also work with the families of people who have lost loved ones this way. Can you tell us a little bit about how you work that way?
Well, I did that mostly when I worked for 30 years as a psychotherapist. Now in the Monroe programs, I've been a trainer there 25 years. They have a specific program called Lifeline for what we'd call soul rescue work that I just mentioned. And some, you know, general advice often will be that initially the person, family may be so upset with emotions that messages come to people that are not quite as close to that person, often that I'm okay, I'm fine, I love you type of message. As they calm down, there's an ability to be able to learn meditation techniques. Monroe Institute and I put out binaural beat exercises, which have a technology in them. You just put on headphones, that even if you've never meditated before, it's easy to move into very deep meditative states quickly. And that can make it much easier to have contact. In general, you're seeing the person in their highest and finest. So if the last thing they were very old or you saw them in a coffin, instead you're seeing them as vibrant, healthy, active, alive. And think of some core qualities of their personality. And often people will get some contact through dreams, and they might think, well, gee, I'm imagining that. I would tend to think it's, quote, real, as we would say. And then things may happen spontaneously. I know I was teaching my six-year-old daughter how to play poker with pennies, and she won every session for an hour. And I turned to her very seriously and said, you know, honey, this isn't how it goes. And then I felt Pete's energy really strongly smiling at me that he was playing with us and giving us a sign he was around. You know, contact can be possible. Fear of any kind tends to keep the contact away. So if you're afraid, what if I found my loved one and I wasn't able to help them and they weren't doing well, in deep meditative states, that's enough to make it very difficult to reach the high level of meditation you need. The other thing is, if a contact, say a vivid dream, when the person wakes up, if it refreshes the grief, then the soul is very careful. They don't want to, you know, make things worse. They don't want to make the person hang on to them. So for some people, they'll get one or two clear messages of, I love you, I'm fine, and then find contact more difficult after that because their loved ones wanting them to focus on being here. And,
right.
So there can be quite a variety, but... if a person would like to try contact, it's sure worth the effort.
And I know you, you've created also a beautiful CD called Ocean Heart.
Yeah.
And I really loved your concept of, you know, you talked in your, you know, about the broken heart and how that was a hard image for you, and you came up with the image of the ocean heart. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So after my brother's death, I found myself closing my heart off to avoid further pain from any other losses, which people often do. And that's part of why the grief feels so, making the person feel so dead inside and so isolated. And so that not working for me, I came up with the image of my heart as a vast ocean of love. And so, for example, Elise, if you came into my life today, it would be like putting a hand in water. You'd be fully enveloped in my loving heart. And then if you chose to leave or had to, it'd be like the hand leaving the water. The water can go back to complete, and perhaps losing a drop. And so I thought that would be a great image to help people who have experienced betrayal or deep heartache And the CD is brand new. We've had it out just weeks, but we're getting great response. One thing that I found, too, was anybody just listening to that CD, it seems to help them be able to handle all the agitation, turmoil, and heartache of the world right now, politics and what's going on in the Middle East, etc., in a way that allows the person to feel powerful, centered, compassionate, rather than just avoiding it by, you know, watching a lot of TV or something. And so it's a good way to be able to be very open-hearted and yet in your power. So I've got a lot of hopes for that CD and download to help a lot of folks with making it a little easier to hang out on planet Earth here.
Wow, I really love that you do that. It's interesting that you said that because it's one of my spiritual practices is to try and stay open-hearted. You know, in the middle of the work, I work, you know, I work kind of a lot like you do with many people over the week that are really grieving and in trouble. And so I hear a lot of sad things from people. And it takes, it's taken years for me to learn how to keep my heart open and stay really grounded and present. And I find the more I do that, the more if I encounter a situation that I really am having trouble processing, I literally like imagine opening my heart like wide enough to fit inside of that, to fit that whole situation inside my heart. And it's been challenging for me, yeah, even though I practice this.
You bring up a good point. You know, in my work on manifestation too, many people say, oh, visualize what you want, right? And mm-hmm. to me, that's a mental thing. It's the mind sets the intent like a steering wheel in a car, but it, car goes nowhere without gas, and the best gas is the energy of love and through an open heart. So we'll talk about that a lot, but and people are quiet, but you can see in their face, they're not quite sure what open heart means and how to get there. We know, you know, our hearts will open if you see kitty cats being born or soldiers returning home from war, but it doesn't stay open very long, 20 minutes or what have you. And so the ocean heart exercise starts with what is meant by that, how to achieve that, and helps the person train to be able to do that and have themselves live in a consistently open-heart place. And the technologies are pretty sexy that we put in there. There's music to 432 hertz. There's very natural surf sounds, beautiful heart music, as well as these binaural beats and what we call gamma stimulation, because gamma wave brain waves are associated with lots of being in your psychic power, if you will. So a lot goes on, even though it's a half hour, and all you got to do is sit down and listen with headphones.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to try it. I've been a big fan of the Monroe Institute, and HemiSync has gotten me through a lot of sleepless nights when I can't sleep. I go right to HemiSync, and it always works for me. So I think there's some really, like you said, really sexy technology. So I can't wait to try it. I think it's awesome. And I find that that I really do have to practice the open heart like a spiritual practice, like really every day and, you know, sit down and do it. And I also, because I sometimes do mediumship work a lot with people that are grieving, you know, mm-hmm. and I think grieving is probably the most difficult part of the story that you're talking about, because most people don't handle grief very well. Our culture doesn't handle it. People have sort of a limited capacity to deal with somebody else's grief. And when you throw kind of the shame of suicide on top of that, I think it's really a lot for the family members and for the people that have crossed over, but especially for the ones left behind to handle that sort of really like difficult mixture of shame and grief.
I would agree. It's very isolating. And sometimes, you know, the suicide, usually a person leaves parents. And if you look at the deep grief of the death of a child, then coupled with this. So we, you know, really say, you know, the culture has an image of perhaps mourn for a year and get over with. But we see these processes can take their own time. As long as a person's not feeling completely stuck in one thing like blaming, you know, but are moving along. It can be very helpful if loved ones have the courage, family, friends, and even strangers, to just comfort that person. Simple things like touch, making the old casserole dish and bringing it over, fine for the first week, but then stay in touch with the person through the next year's holidays and maybe the person who's left's birthday. They can usually use that, but they may have isolated themselves some because of the shame or trying to process this. I know my family and my brother's funeral, first I had to convince the priest to even do one within the belief system, but we had the service, I gave a eulogy, and then we all walked out the front of the church not even looking around to see in back. There was probably 100 people there waiting to help us and console us. But, you got to reach out because that person may be in such a state that they're not even processing what they need or able to ask for it.
Right. Yeah. Would you be willing to share a little bit about how this whole journey has impacted you and how you've grown and changed?
Sure. Some of the things I've mentioned, leaving me with a sense of all death leads to light. The great care on the other side, that no life is wasted, those have been very important to me. I really have, because my brother seemed to be bound by and restricted by fears, which many of us are to a lesser extent, but it limits us nonetheless. My favorite saying now that I have on my wall is, fear is expensive, love is priceless, choose wisely. This idea of voting for love. And when in my life I tried to meet fear with courage, it was like putting out brush fires. You'd deal with one ego fear and another one would pop up, and lots of fear people can come by honestly. If you've been out of work for 6 months and you have a family, it's going to be natural to fear how you're going to support them. But what I found is instead of meeting fear with courage, if I melted fear with love, that automatically softened ego, took you out of your left brain ego state, made everything go much easier, as well as providing you energy and access to spirit. So this has all brought that home. It's brought home some as a therapist, I thought I knew that, you can do what you can, but it's up to the person, finally. But my brother's death taught me really to let go of results and give the person the freedom to choose whatever life path they choose, with me providing as much as I can for their benefit. But in final analysis, it's their decision. And in final analysis, we don't even know what is the right decision. It seems from my meditations that I've found that my brother came into this life that I knew him in feeling that love was not real, and left the life feeling that love indeed exists. And that was a great victory on a soul level, even though Maybe on our level it looks like a failure because he wasn't able to keep it together and find work and all of that. So it taught me not to judge, even more so than I already knew.
And to believe in love as the sort of unifying principle, which they, everyone says that love is the unifying principle, but it seems like you've actually had that experience. That's incredible.
Yeah, I think love pierces any veil and can create amazing miracles. In fact, if somebody was attempting to be in connection with a loved one, or even somebody who was suffering here but seemed hard to reach, I think if they first affirmed to themselves, am I in this for my own ego, or am I in this in a loving way? And if in a loving way, just really affirm that love will pierce any veil, and you might be surprised how successful you are at helping someone.
And how can people reach you?
A couple of ways that are easy for a radio audience, so it's easy to remember. The title of the book, Heaven is for Healing. If you just type in heavenisforhealing.com, it'll go to my website. And also the CD download, Ocean Heart. If you typed in oceanheartcd.com, it would also take you there, not only for these things, but seeing workshops and other things I do. The book is also awesome. Available at bookstores, Amazon, all that stuff. But the CD is only on my website, which is oceanheartcd.com.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gallenberger. It was a pleasure, an honor to speak to you. And thank you for being on the radio with me today.
I really enjoyed talking with you, and I hope what we talked about today helps a lot of people.
Me too. Me too. And thank you guys for listening. Thanks for joining us on The Miracle of Healing here on Empower Radio, where we are healing people one person at a time.
Thank you.